Jim Schwartz. Jim, you're on with Jim Miller, Pat Kerwin, Moving the Chains, SiriusXM NFL Radio. Good to talk to you again, Coach. How are you doing today?
I'm well, guys. How are you?
We're doing fine, Jim. Sue, I was so glad that Sue didn't get suspended with all the speculation around that was going to happen. I just think we are in dangerous territory. We start using conjecture to figure out what the intent was. I'm sure you were relieved as well.
Yeah, I mean, Ndamukong has seen his penalties decrease every year, and this year has one penalty for 5 yards. It's one offsides penalty. So I think that, you know, he has done a really good job of staying away from situations like that. You know, when you're a player of his profile and some of the stuff that's happened to him in the past, there's going to be a camera on you all plays. But, you know, I think, you know, it's a physical contact game. There's a lot of things that happen. We have a lot of players that get fined for things that, you know, that are inadvertent on the field. Stephen Tulloch earlier the year against Tennessee had a helmet-to-helmet hit on a receiver. And Tulloch's not real tall to begin with, and he was aiming low, and the receiver caught the ball and ducked his head and happened to get helmet-to-helmet. Well, that's on the defender. We, even in this game, had a player get fined for a face mask. Well, nobody's trying to get a face mask. Nobody wants to get a penalty like that. So, you know, we just got to play the game as fast and as physical as we can and just recognize that sometimes there's things that are, you know, that are out of your control, and you want to stay away from penalties. And in this case, Ndamukong did that.
No, Coach, I think it's a good point you're bringing right now because, as we all know, coaches can get labeled, players can get labeled. And do you think this is a label that Ndamukong Suh will be able to shed over time?
Well, I know that when he was with us, Albert Haynesworth was able to do that. When I say us, down in Tennessee.
Right.
You know, Albert had a much, I don't know if you'd say worse, incident. You know, Albert was, a player was on the bottom of the pile without a helmet on. And, you know, and Albert got suspended. But, you know, when he came back, you know, he took responsibility for it. And then when he came back, he did a much better job of staying away from penalties, and his good play on the field put that to rest. You know, in the NFL, you can't have a thin skin. There's going to be a lot of scrutiny, and that goes for players, that goes for coaches, that goes for GMs that draft players, owners. You know, this is a very, very popular league, and one of the reasons is people identify with, you know, players and coaches and owners, and you know, the fantasy football thing. Hey, this is what I would do if I was an owner or if I was a GM. And that's one of the things that drives this league. So if you're worried about criticism, if you can't handle criticism, then you're in the wrong spot. I think Ndamukong has done a very good job of staying focused on the field and not letting things like this detract from that.
I was glad to see you today. As when I read it, it might have been yesterday when you did it. Stand up for your quarterback and in his throwing and his mechanics and everything else. Not that you have time to waste on all that stuff. It's pretty clear the guy's a phenomenal player. And he does have some, you know, unorthodox throws, but I thought your description of him and how he plays was so great to see and hear. And I think for our listeners who love football, they got something out of that.
Yeah, the whole idea in football, if you're a quarterback, is to complete pass, throw an accurate pass that your receiver can catch and, you know, number one, catch. Number two, give him a chance to run after the catch. And there's no style points for, you know, throwing how you throw it or what it looks like. There have been some great quarterbacks in this league that have unorthodox deliveries that throw wobbly passes. And I was with Bernie Kosar in Cleveland, and he didn't exactly have a classic style, but he was one of the most accurate passes in the history of the National Football League. Phillip Rivers out in San Diego, you know, doesn't do it with a classic style. You know, neither did Brett Favre. You know, there's a lot of different ways to do that. The most important thing is give guys a chance to make a completion and be able to run after the catch, make good decisions. And, you know, a lot of times, particularly now when quarterbacks are on the run, they're trying to put ball through windows, there's quick passing game, and the idea is to get rid of the ball as quick as you can. Sometimes that ball's going to be a little bit sidearm, or you're going to be throwing off your back foot. I think Kurt Warner, you know, we talked about Favre doing that. Kurt Warner was the guy I remember the most, particularly when he was with St. Louis and then when he finished with Arizona. you know, there were so many times you were frustrated in a pass rush because you couldn't get him because he never stepped up. He was always stepping away from guys, but he just flicked the ball. He had a really quick release. Their passing game was quick. And he completed a lot of passes and moved the offense, scored a lot of points. And those are the things we're judged on, not style points of what it looks like. Matt can throw it as perfect as anybody, but sometimes in the game it takes a little while to set up and to throw. And I think I compared it to, you know, shortstop in baseball. You know, the shortstop usually throws the ball over to first, not exactly the way that you would coach a little leaguer or you would throw it if you know, if you were just playing catch. He's getting rid of it quick, getting it over to the first baseman as quick as he can. And, you know, sometimes that's from a lower lower angle. You know, it's just the bottom line is where it is. One of the touchdown passes that Matt completed to Mike Thomas in this game, he threw sidearm under a pass rusher and fit the ball in a real tight window that he could have never made overhand. So, you know, again, if you're thin-skinned in this league, then you're in the wrong spot. But, you know, again, it gives people things to talk about. They have an opinion, you know, and we just you know, put that where it is and go out and try to get a win on Sunday and try to move the offense.
Well, Coach, I love you bringing up Bernie Kosar because he's a great anticipatory thrower and just his accuracy and how he could lead guys. And I wanted to get your thoughts on Andrew Luck, who you're facing this week. I mean, this guy's 65%, almost 66% completion percentage on the road. In terms of his play, you've got a talented quarterback, and the Colts feel like they got it right in Andrew Luck with how he's played this year. Just your thoughts on this young rookie who's doing pretty well.
Well, there's no question. He was prepared very well in college. You know, he does a good job with decision-making. And they say college, I mean, he's probably been prepared for a lot longer than that. His dad was a former NFL quarterback, and he has good bloodlines there. He's got a good head on his shoulders, and was very productive in college, and then, you know, number one pick at the NFL draft. And, you know, I said before, you know, we're judged on how we move the ball and how we score. Number one, we're judged on wins. And, you know, he's led his team to a 7-4 record right now. And they've had a couple games get away from him. They've been on the wrong side of some lopsided losses like the Jets and New England a couple weeks ago and Chicago in the opener. But they've won a lot of real close games, 3-point wins, 4-point wins, 6-point wins. And it really doesn't matter what your stats are when that happens. You know, I think he's completing about 57% of his passes overall. But he's near the top of the NFL in long plays and plus 20 passing plays. Well, when you're throwing the ball that far down the field, when you're pushing the ball down there, your completion percentage isn't going to be as high. We talked about Kurt Warner and some of those guys that would get rid of the ball quick and have, you know, shorter passes. Their completion percentage is going to be a lot higher. The one thing that Luck does that really stands out to me is his ability to move not only outside of the pocket but within the pocket. He's really, really good at stepping up in the pocket. He feels the rush. He's able to keep his eyes downfield. And a young quarterback, one of the challenges in the NFL is feeling the rush while keeping their eyes downfield. And sometimes takes a lot of experience for those guys to be able to get that. And Andrew Luck just has it, I don't know, naturally or he's developed it over time. But he stands in that pocket. Reminds me a lot of Roethlisberger, the way he'll move up. And he takes some hits. He's taking some sacks. But he hangs in there and then ends up completing a bunch of balls down the field. And that's going to be a big challenge for us this week.
Yeah, it calls to the inside push. It calls to the angle of the rush for the outside guys. If you know you got a pocket guy who steps up, you got to have a plan rushing the pass. You cannot be, and this is a question, not a statement, you can't be haphazard about it. You can't think, well, I'm just coming up field blindly. You got to understand what the guy in front of you is doing. Then your inside push guys have to take all that air out of that little pocket.
No question. You know, and when people have gotten that good inside push on them, their outside pass rushers have been effective. If you give him the ability to step up, he can just negate the outside pass rushers. You know, I think our defense did a very good job a couple weeks ago against a similar quarterback or similar, I won't say style, but a guy that could also move around in the pocket and Aaron Rodgers. You just got to eliminate all that air, keep eyes in his face, stay alive in your pass rush. Can't get driven past the quarterback. And, you know, if you do that, then you'll do a good job of limiting his chances to make the plays downfield. Jim knows that, you know, if you have a guy sitting in your face, you have to elevate the ball a little bit more. And then those balls tend to sail, and that's when you see safeties making interceptions because of overthrows. It's not always because the quarterback, you know, doesn't make a good throw. It's because, you know, somebody else affected that pass, and it ends up sailing high on them.
Joined by the head coach of the Detroit Lions, Jim Schwartz, joining us on Moving the Chain, SiriusXM NFL Radio, as they get set to take on the 7-4 Indianapolis Colts. And Coach, could you break down Mike Thomas? Obviously, him and Ryan Broyles, it looks like they're going to get more playing time. And, you know, obviously, Titus Young, a little bit of tough love is being demonstrated towards that young receiver. And maybe just give us an update about Titus Young.
Well, Titus Young's back with the team. He was back for practice yesterday. And, like you said, I think that Ryan Broyles and Mike Thomas both stepped up and did a better job. Thomas has been with us for just a few weeks. We traded for him right before the deadline. Even though he's has some experience at Jacksonville, he's learning an entirely new offense. So there's an adjustment period there. But he's every week he's getting a little bit more in the swing of things. And, you know, he's a guy that has been a playmaker with the ball in his hand. He scored a touchdown for us. We ran a reverse to him. He's a good run after the catch guy. Every week, Broyles has gotten better. You know, he had over 100 yards receiving. He's a good run after the catch receiver. He just has a knack of getting open, and it goes back to training camp. Every time he's had an opportunity, he's done well with that opportunity. So, you know, we'll count on contributions from all those guys and put the guys on the field that we think give our offense the best chance to move the ball, to score, and give us the best chance to win.
Yep. Last one for me, Coach. Yes, I see the guys that didn't practice. Anyone who didn't practice yesterday get a chance to get on the field and go today?
You know, I can't remember the guys that didn't.
Here are the guys: Averill, Backus, Delmas.
Back on the field.
Green, LeSure, and Corey Williams.
Yes, on the last two. Jonte Green's been sick.
Right.
And our guys, I'll tell you what, you know, I mean, our season has not gone exactly the way that we wanted, obviously being 4-7 right now. But we have a lot of tough guys and who are currently injured, and they are working extremely hard to get back on the field. And it shows, you know, in a day like today, getting all those guys back out there. Not all of them were full speed. Not all of them were on the field for every single rep of practice, but they were all back out there. This game means a lot to them. And, you know, I think that the one thing, even though we've only won four games, our guys have embraced each moment of every game, and that's because of leaders like Lou Delmas and Corey Williams and Jeff Backus. You know, Jeff Backus missed his first game in his entire career on Thanksgiving. He had started 186 straight games. I mean, that's just ridiculous. And then had started 46 straight at Michigan before that. I think it was back to the seventh grade before he had ever missed a game. When you're playing offensive line in the NFL, that's a great stat. You know, he wasn't able to get out there. Riley Reiff was able to step in and do a good job for him. So if Jeff can't go this week, then we expect Ryan to be able to go in and play productively for us also. I mean, it's a big matchup in this game, you know, with Mathis and Freeney. Their ability to get pressure on the quarterback and put a clock on the quarterback is extremely important to their defense. And even though Freeney only has two sacks on the year and, you know, this production doesn't look like he's had an impact, you put the tape on and he is impactful on every single play. You know, they were beating the Patriots 14-7 early in the second quarter, and Freeney and Mathis were giving them all kinds of trouble. As soon as they were able to get them blocked, all of a sudden Brady started finding his receivers, and you know, they ended up scoring a bunch of points, and that's a big challenge for us this Sunday also.
Coach, I was laughing because it disproves that it's somewhat Groundhog Day for you when Pat asked that question about the injured players, because it disproves that you're grinding in your response to that.
And, also, yesterday seems 3 weeks away. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, you live in the moment, and, you know. But like I said, our guys are tough guys, and they're going to get out there and do whatever they can. Nobody wants to be hurt. Nobody wants to not participate. Wow. They all have a tremendous desire to be out there. They're all prideful athletes, and they're very competitive and good team first guys. So,
Coach, that you know, I know Nick Fairley is still young in his career, but you know, since he's filled in while Corey Williams has been out, he's starting to become a force as a player, is he not?
Yeah, we've seen the reasons that you know, we drafted him and that he was so highly rated coming out and things like that. And his whole first year he spent being hurt. He got hurt the first day of training camp.
Yeah.
Broke his foot. And, you know, I mean, I watched Javon Kearse with the same injury in Tennessee. And even when he came back that year, you know, was never really the same. And it wasn't until he had a full off season that that thing was healed up and he was back to, you know, being Javon Kearse. And with Nick, it's the same thing. Put being injured on top of being a rookie and trying to learn the NFL and missing all of training camp. It was tough duty for him last year, but, you know, he's still got more consistency that he can give us, but he's come a long way. We've missed Corey Williams on the field. You know, we roll a lot of guys up there and try to keep them fresh, and we've went from a four-man rotation up front to a three-man rotation. And, you know, it's taken its toll at times, so it'll be good if we can get Corey back on the field. That'll be give us a really big boost. But Nick has responded with really good plays. He's always been a playmaker, a guy that can, you know, make a tackle for a loss, be around the quarterback, sacks, you know, those kind of things. And, you know, like a lot of the other young players, he's still working on consistency, but he's trending in the right direction for sure.
Coach, last one before we let you go. We'd be remiss, and I know you've addressed the play already, but it's affected two head coaches, yourself and Mike Smith and Roger Goodell. And, of course, I'm talking about the Justin Forsett 81-yard touchdown run. Roger Goodell addressed that, hey, maybe the rule change could be done for the postseason. In the NFL. I guess your thoughts on the play and about the rule change, because obviously it sounds like it's going to be addressed because you get caught up in the emotions of the game and it's happened to more than one head coach.
Yeah, I mean, that doesn't do us a whole lot of good. I mean, it's inexcusable on my part. I mean, particularly when the time isn't of the essence on that. There's a lot of times where you have to throw the challenge flag that you got to get it out quick because the opponent's hurrying up to, you know, try to get a play off to prevent you from challenging it or prevent you from seeing a replay. That's not one of the cases, you know, but my fault was an overreaction, and I was still carrying our failed challenge early in the game where we thought that a ball had hit off their defender on the punt return team and that we would have the ball around midfield in that game, and we didn't get that one, and it was sort of like, hey, this one's coming back. But, yeah, let me know when they change the Calvin Johnson rule, too.
go get a win, Jimmy.
Yeah, we'll take that one, too. But, you know, like, hey, we're going to go out. I mean, you never, as a coach, you always want to put the players in good position. You never want to put them in bad position. That was a case where I put them in bad position. We were able to overcome it and had chances at the end, a lot of different chances, and, you know, we weren't able to make that one more play. But that was the first penalty in my NFL career, and it'll definitely be the last one.
Well, Coach, we appreciate your time. Love your style. And like Pat said, go get a win, Coach. Good luck to you. Thanks for
joining us. All right, we need it.
Take care, Jimmy.